You see, Brother Worsley, one of your homies told you he's going to come up and pick you up, take you out to dinner to introduce you to the area. And they're going to be there to pick you up at 7 o'clock. Not 7:02, 7 o'clock. Know where you live, right? And you tell them, okay. But when they get to your house at 7 o'clock, you ain't there. Right? So that means that the person who made the promise was there, but the person who's received the promise wasn't. So, and because of that, now you mad at the person who made the promise because they said, wait a minute, you wasn't there. Yeah, I was there at 7 o'clock. I told you what time. Well, I didn't get home until 8. Well, why didn't you tell me you were going to get off late? We struggle to understand how our whole promise works. Because we know how folk have broken promises for us. But I want you to know there were some promises that you made that you ain't keep either. But let's, y'all, go dig. Let's go dig into what is happening here. What we have here is the writer of the book of Acts is Luke. And he is writing to Theophilus. And Theophilus is the same person he was writing to in the first book that he wrote. And y'all know the first book he wrote, it was Luke, the Gospel of Luke. He is writing this. First, he wrote the Gospel of Luke to let Theophilus know that Jesus is awesome. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus came for the entire world. Jesus came to make a difference for us. Jesus came and he was the promise of the Father who stepped down through 42 generations, walked here on this earth, took the sins of the world, took them to the cross, died on the cross, and we're seeing that all up to then. And then we're even seeing in the Gospel of Luke how we're seeing that he got up early on Sunday morning with all power in his hands, and his disciples saw him. That concludes the first book. But then the second book is the Acts. Some have attempted to say that this is the Acts of the Apostles. Nah. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. You see, on our own, y'all, we can't get it right. Can't get it right, can't do it right. We'll mess it up on every shot as long as it was just left up to us. It's through the Holy Spirit that we're seeing God working. He worked through this ragtag bunch of 11 dudes who are now left. Fishermen, a tax collector nobody wants to deal with, zealots and other folk. But still we're seeing that Jesus doesn't look at folk on the outside. He looks at folk on the inside and allows us to understand, I don't care what you look like on the inside, I can still fix you, I can still use you, I can still turn you around. There is no limit to what God can do in anybody who is willing to embrace the Lord. Do I got anybody in God's house who thought that you couldn't do it, but once the Lord anointed you with his Spirit, didn't he turn your life around? Didn't you find yourself doing stuff you thought you couldn't do? It's only because God. So here we see, it tells us in this scripture as well that Jesus appeared to them for 40 days before he ascended. Now, 40 is a number we see repeated over and over in the Bible. We see the word, the number 40 repeated initially in Genesis, when God told Noah to build the ark because it's going to rain. And as Noah built the ark and he put all the animals up in that ark, it told us that God caused it to rain for 40 days. And y'all see the first 40? Yeah. And then we're seeing it also again. We see when God calls Moses and sends Moses to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And when they finally released him, we're seeing that they got to the wilderness, y'all, but they wasn't ready to go into the promised land. So they had to wander in the wilderness for 40. Y'all see that 40 coming back again? And don't you see how Jesus stepped down through the 42 generations, took upon this flesh, walked here on this earth, and when he saw John the Baptist, he was baptized, and we see the Father spoke, said, "This is my beloved Son," and we're seeing the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove, and once the Spirit was upon him, the Spirit led him in the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for
40.
Y'all see 40 again? Do you see 40 working over and over again? And then now what we're seeing is that the disciples who walked and talked with Jesus for 3+ years, and as they and when they saw Jesus being taken and beaten, a lot of them took off because of the fact that they were saying, "Lord, I'll die for you." You see, the word sounds good, but they were incapable of maintaining and doing what they said, because they were not fully equipped. So they began to scatter. And then they saw, it was told to them by Mary, that he had risen. And then they went and checked, and they saw the tomb was empty. And then when they finally saw Jesus, Jesus had to spend 40 days with them. You see, because Jesus had to transition them to get them from where they were to where he wants them to be. I want you to understand something, my brothers and my sisters. If you are truly a child of God, you had to deal with your own 40-day experience. The Lord had to transition you from something to something else, because he just couldn't leapfrog you over there. Because if he leapfrogged you over there, you wouldn't appreciate it. If he leapfrogged you over there, you wouldn't fully understand it. That's why I want walk with the Lord is a daily walk, and we take that walk one step at a time, because the Lord has some stuff in us he got to flush. There's some stuff the Lord just got to flush out of us. And in order for him to flush it out of us, he's got to take some time to take it out of us. And as Jesus was talking with them, he wasn't just a ghost. He was there in physical presence, because he ate with them. He talked with them. And the whole purpose of him doing that was to let them know that the kingdom of God, he was preparing them. He had given them several promises. And they've seen one promise come to fruition. They seen somebody who was dead who was now alive again, because he had taken the sin of the world. And now that they've seen all of this, they got all excited and they were truly praising God. And then now Jesus is saying, "Y'all, I got to go." And I want you to know they weren't ready for Jesus to go. They didn't want him to go. They're like, "Lord, don't leave us." They said, "Wait a minute. I got to go because I got somebody I'm sending for you. It's called the Holy Spirit." You see, I can only be in one body, but the Holy Spirit can be in all of y'all at the same time. And it don't matter how many of y'all it will become, the Holy Spirit can dwell in everybody. Because I want you to know that I can take my spirit and disperse it as many times as I need to disperse it. And what we're seeing happening here, my brothers and my sisters, is that the Lord said to them, "I want you to stay right here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit." Wait a minute. Digging Booth, you're telling me you want me to stay in Jerusalem? Do you realize these folk here believe that we're grave robbers, Mother Austin? That we took your body out the grave and then gonna go around and lie and tell everybody that you're resurrected? And then don't you know the Romans want to kill us? Because they want to silence us. Don't you know we're in a hostile environment? The Jews don't like us. The Romans don't like us. But you want us to stay in this hostile environment? Lord, what are you saying? We got to stay here until we receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. Now, there's a reality we got to deal with. Just like these brothers had to make a decision. I want you to know, before you can make any collective decisions, you must make a decision for yourself. When you listen to the sermon heading says, "He made promises to me." You see, but before I can be excited about how God is going to promise things and do things for you, I got to know he can do it for me too. Can we just be real about it? You see, Christianity tries to sometimes skip a step. We want to talk about the collective. But the collective ain't nothing but a bunch of individuals. And if the individuals are not on the same page, then collectively you can't do nothing. So what we're seeing happening here in this particular scripture, when Jesus says to them to stay here in Jerusalem until you have received that which the Father has given to you, they all individually had to make a decision to say, you know what, I'm going to stay. You see, and since they all collectively made a decision that they were going to stay, nobody had to look over their shoulder and say, where everybody at? I think it was 11 of us. How many you got to count for? You see, when we have made a decision individually, then the Lord can work with us collectively. The problem is that if we don't make a decision individually, then collectively we are not strong. Oh, amen, lights. If the Lord is going to do something, and he is doing stuff here with us, we have to be willing to move forward collectively. But before we can get it there collectively, we all must know individually. And because the truth be told, when we start moving forward, and as the Lord has been blessing us and continuing to bless us, we shouldn't have to look over our shoulder and say, yo, you with me? Because if you got to keep looking over your shoulder and say, are you with me? You spend too much time looking back rather than looking what? You see, God wants us to move what? And you can't move forward too good if you're constantly looking. And what God is saying to us, and what we have to understand, and what we can learn from these disciples, is that we got to realize it's going to cost us something. And I want you to understand, if you're truly a child of God and moving forward under the will and way of the Lord, I want you to know sometimes you're going to have to deal with some hostile environments. And as you're dealing with the hostile environment, you don't got to wonder if you're in it all by yourself, because you know for a fact that the other folk around you love the Lord like you love the Lord. You know for a fact that we all going to move forward how? Together. Because we're all in this one. And we have come to realize individually that the Lord is who he is. Then collectively, we can move forward as. Do you see it? You see, my brothers and sisters. But there's the other pieces, is that how many of y'all going to be willing to stay? How many of y'all going to be willing to do what God is calling you to do? How many of y'all are really saying, Lord, whatever thy will is for us, move us forward? Or are we going to sit there grump and grime about it? Say that, yeah, I'm with y'all, but the whole time I'm mumbling behind your back, telling you it's a waste of time. I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, you are not glorifying God in that way. All you're doing is being a nuisance and a problem. You are being a pebble in the shoe. God don't want us to be pebbles in the shoe. God wants us to be a part of something that's going to move his will forward. So what I'm saying to you today, my brothers and sisters, we have to collectively be able to say what we say, that he made promises for us. But before we get to the us, I first got to deal with. You see, when we look at this, the promise that they're waiting on is that they're going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. You see, my brothers and my sisters, but in order to receive the promise, you got to be in a place God has instructed you to be. You see, and that's why I'm getting back to this. It is so important for us to understand that God wants to bless his people. But in order for his people to be blessed, they have to follow the instructions. And can you imagine if some of them say, yeah, well, I ain't staying in Jerusalem. I'm going back to Galilee. If he can bless me in Jerusalem, he can show them to bless me in Galilee. That's not what the instructions say. If God tells you to be at a specific place at a specific time, that's where you need to be in order to receive the what? Promise. You see, my brothers and my sisters, some of us are so frustrated because we want God to bless us. We want to receive his promises, but we want it according to our agenda. And as long as you are taking that approach, it is not going to happen. You will not receive the promise, because God has given us specific instructions. And in this situation, he's given them specific instructions. Stay in Jerusalem. You want to be blessed? Stay in Jerusalem. Because what I'm about to bless you with is the Holy Spirit. And you will find that there's power in the Holy Spirit. But you won't know about the power unless you stay in Jerusalem. My brothers and my sisters, what the Lord is looking for are some folk who are truly willing to trust God, trust His word, step out on faith. Because the reason why man and God cannot be on the same plateau is because man will get shaky sometimes. But I thank God He ain't shaky. Our God is faithful. He's going to be there with us through thick and through thin. If God said it, you can believe it. And if God said He's going to do it, it has already been done. You see, my brothers and my sisters, are you willing to believe God? Are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to step out on faith with God? Are you willing to stay where God wants you to be? Because if you stay where God wants you to be, I want you to know you will receive what God has for you. You see? Brother, God has a lot in store for this church. And I just pray you can see it. Did y'all see all them kids just herd out here?
Yeah.
And some of them ain't waiting for me to tell them it's time to go. They just knew offerings over. Are you seeing this? Herding out there. Do you see people joining the church? Do you see things happening that are positive in this church? So, and if all these things are happening, we got to give God the glory. We got to give God the praise. Because what we're saying is that we're going to stay right where we are, do just as you instruct us until you tell us to do it a little differently. You see, my brothers and my sisters, God wants to know, do you have staying power? And you know what God is really saying to His disciples? Do you trust me? Do you trust me when you don't understand? Do you trust me in the midst of your fears? Do you trust me when other folk don't seem to think it makes sense for you to trust me? You see, my brothers and sisters, when we look at how awesome our God is, it's not what God will do, because God has already got it set. The question is, are you willing to have the faith and the trust to follow the instructions God has given you, even if it goes against what you think? Are you willing to go ahead and do what God is showing you and wants you to do? You see, my brothers and my sisters, if the only way we're going to truly be blessed is when we trust God, and we trust God in His promises, and His promises is in His word. And if we trust God in His promises, in His words, He'll give us the evidence and the actions which will substantiate the words that He's already said. But the only way we're going to get there is that we got to stay right where we are. And as we stay where we are, we'll be able to see what our Lord is going to do in our lives. Do I got anybody in God's house who's got staying power? Do I got anybody in God's house who's going to hold on to His promises? Do I got anybody in God's house who knows that our God will make a way out of nowhere? Do I got anybody in God's house who understands no matter how hostile the environment, I'm going to stay right where God is having me to stay, because I know He's going to bless me. He's going to see me through. He will make a way out of no way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand how good our God is? Somebody ought to put their head back and say, thank you. You see, my brothers and sisters, Christianity is able to take us in our weaknesses, take us in our fears, take us, because the world might consider us to be the misfits, Deacon Rosa, that we ain't the most intelligent, most articulate. And God is able to take us with how others have labeled us as being incapable. But when we put our trust in God, we see how the Lord has taken us to do things we thought we'd never do. And when we put our trust in Him, We find ourselves sitting up in this choir singing his praises. We find ourselves in church worshiping and praising his holy name. We find ourselves having the jobs and the businesses and doing the various things because we put our trust in God. Because when we put our trust in man, man always gonna fail us. Man is always gonna make a mistake. But when we put our trust in God, won't the Lord make a way out of no way? Won't the Lord step in right on time? Won't the Lord open doors that others said will be shut to you? Won't the Lord knock down walls that others said you'll never get over? I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, we serve a God who will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. All we got to do is put our hand in God's unchanging hand, because he made me some promises, and since he made me some promises, I want you to know that I'm going to stand on those promises. I'm going to trust God, and I'll know that I've only gotten this far because I've been standing on the promises of God. Do I got anybody who's been standing on those promises, trusting in him and knowing it's nobody but the Lord who made a way out of no way, who's been there with me through thick and through thin when I had nowhere else to go, when everybody else failed me? Lord, I thank you that you never failed me, but you always stepped in right on time. I tell you, our God is just good like that. I tell you, do I got anybody in God's house who don't mind giving God some praise, thanking him for what he's done, thanking him for what he's going to do? Because he made promises to me. I believe the promises he made. I trust in what he said. I'm going to step out on faith because I serve a God who is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. So I got to do nothing but praise you. I can't do nothing but thank you. Go on and give three folk high five and say, I'm staying right where I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That's the kind of God we serve. Because he wants you to know, Christianity is not for folk who want to go a little ways and turn around. Christianity is for folk who are willing to grab a hold of the word of God. Come hell or high water, I'm going to say hallelujah anyhow. Because I know no matter what storms are raging, that my God is my anchor. No matter how rough it gets, my Lord will smooth it out. No matter how many folk turn their backs on me, I know the Lord will hold my hand. I don't care how they laugh at me, but the Lord is constantly telling me, I love you, and I love you just the way you are. I'm going to make you better, and I'm not going to make you bitter. You see, I want you to understand the whole purpose of the enemy sending storms in our lives is because the enemy wants us to get bitter and not get better. But when you know who the Lord is, whenever life throws a lemon at you, you go on and you squeeze that lemon, get it good and soft, break that pulp out, and then you go on and cut that lemon in half and you just squeeze out all that pulp. And for those of y'all who ought not to have too much sugar, go buy you some Splenda. Other folk, get you some sugar, add a little warm water, it'll cause it to melt a little faster, then add some ice, and guess what you got? You done made yourself some. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. I want you to understand, when you stand on the promises of God and you stay where God will have you to be, the enemy's gonna try to give you some lemons, but you thank God for the lemons, because you know it ain't gonna stay a lemon, because you're gonna make you some. You see what I'm saying to you today, my brothers and my sisters? When you know how good our God is, when you know where our God has brought you from, you ain't gonna ever sit down and shut up. But you're going to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Because where would I be if I did not have Jesus? I tell you, it's nobody but the Lord who made a way out of no way. Do I got anybody who understands what I'm talking about? Isn't our God a good God? I tell you, he is my all in all. He made promises to me. And since he made those promises, I got to stay with him. And I got to stay where he wants me to be. Because if I don't, I'm missing out on what God has for me. Do you hear it, y'all? God is faithful. Do you trust him? Do you have the faith in him? Then that means you know he made promises to me. And if he made a promise, he's going to keep it. I made promises that I just couldn't keep for whatever reason. You could have made a promise to do something and something happened. Flat tire. Whatever. But you just couldn't keep it. But I thank God if he makes the promise. It will. It will. It will come. It will come to pass. It will come to pass. So what am I saying, my brothers and sisters? Trust him. And if the Lord is saying stay, stay where you need to be in order to receive the promise. Now, I want you to know this is a part one, and we got a part two and three coming. So it's coming in the upcoming weeks. So just keep coming, and eventually you get to it. Amen. But what am I saying? Whatever you do, don't quit. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, ain't no quit in me.